Welcome to today's episode. In this episode of Biz Trends, we are rewinding the future. That's right, we're diving into the return of the analog towards human-centric leadership and meaningful culture shifts in the midst of the age of artificial intelligence. Today we're joined by the one and only Carmen Murray, thought leader, trend alchemist, and the massive force behind the Authentic Intelligence Framework. Carmen helps organizations translate culture into strategy. And today we'll explore this analog renaissance, why it's trending, who's behind it, and what it means for the future of business and leadership. So let's dive into it. Carmen, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been guiding businesses through change for over two decades now. So what has inspired the shift from your perspective away from the digital and towards, again, now a more authentic form of leadership?
Thank you so much for giving away my age and for having me on your show. I'm really honored to be here. You know, I think if on a serious note, if we have to look at this, you know, we are in a hyper-connected world, yet we are so disconnected. And we're geeking out about AI, automation, artificial intelligence, but, you know, at the end of the day, what we also need to look at is that there's this soft human movement that is happening and paying attention to that. We are longing for authenticity and human connection. And I think that we need to understand what that truly means for our organizations and for ourselves as human beings and leaders.
So you obviously work in the trend space too. Not only are you a practitioner, you're also an observer of what's going on in the world around you. So where have you started to see this trend emerging and playing out?
I think this trend has been going on for a long time. If you just look at Google Trends and you start looking at the searches that's been happening. But I think specifically since the pandemic, that has really put us in this massive catalytic moment where we're like, hang on, we want human connection. And from meeting room to boardroom and being constantly behind the screen, there's digital fatigue. Mm-hmm. And people are moving. There's also a thing called digital ADHD. And I mean, I think I have that. But I think that it's fascinating and very interesting is that we are moving into this era of retro tech and going back to the technologies that we have so that we are actually able to not have so many interruptions in our days digitally, but can actually just get our digital wellness in order.
Yeah, so when you start speaking about that wellness, a lot of your work, we know, involves actually manifesting those offline connections through communities. And one of the big projects you've been involved with is your Conscious Leaders Network, and it's empowering thousands of women. How does this connect with this analog renaissance trend, and why have you invested your personal time in building this offline community of leaders?
There's so many reasons why I started it, but the first one is I once went to a client and a client said to me, you know, I feel like I have to walk around with an invisible handbag in organizations. I can't be my authentic self and I need a space where I can be authentically myself. And that was just also a very big aha moment for me. But furthermore, I also would say is authenticity comes easy to women, but we have to remember that women are like a sprinkler effect. Change happens when you bring women in community and they tend and they befriend and they do the amazing things to bring the change. And we can see in the world right now, it's very toxic. And I think for me, it was a pivotal moment where I was like, what can I do to be a change agent and bring women together that think the same way I do? And I have to say our philosophy is very simple. It's human empowerment, responsibility, and sustainability. And for me personally, I was going through a creative illness, an inner disruption. Some call it midlife crisis. But this was a pivotal moment for me to realize, hang on, this is also happening in organizations. They are also having midlife crisis and inner disruptions and outer disruptions. If you crack an egg from the outside, it means death. If you crack an egg from the inside, it means life. And for me, when you go through a creative illness, it's a very tough transformation to go through. It's where the layers come off. And if you have the bravery and the courage to look within and look at what the challenges are and do something about it, your best work can be born. And in my view, I feel like the best work that I've ever done was the Authentic Intelligence Framework and Conscious Leaders. And that is because of really leaning into a creative illness.
Okay, so let's like take a step back and try to tie all of this together. When it comes to this trend of analog renaissance, you've mm-hmm. spoken about community, you've spoken about authenticity, but how would you, in your words, surmise all of that? What is this trend that we are looking at?
I think analog renaissance is very interesting for me because in order for you to understand analog renaissance, you have to go to the other side, the dystopian side. And I think that you and I speak about this often, is holding this tension between a dystopian world and a utopian world, and holding that tension tight enough so that you can find protopia, that little sprout that comes out, that slow, soft movement that is happening. And analog renaissance is that. When you actually search digital wellness online and you look at the trend, that trend has been progressing and progressing, and it's really an upward trajectory. And this is worldwide. It's not just in certain countries. And people are really are trying to find ways to go back to nostalgia, to go back to the past. As they say, it's old things in a new way or new things in an old way. Otherwise, it's just an observation. So what can we learn from the lessons of the past? I mean, the retro tech is a big thing. I mean, I want to get myself a typewriter. I think I might be able to do my book if I actually have a proper typewriter, that I'm not distracted by tabs and interruptions. But I mean, there's something, I don't know if you've heard about this, but the elephant companies, right, that is on the rise, where people are starting businesses that are slow and you know, takes a lot of work. It's almost like an elephant. It's piece by piece and growing community businesses. And it's for profit, but it's a very slow and organic way, but it's for the community. We are seeing things like co-housing. And, you know, I think if you had to speak to me 10 years ago and talk to me about co-housing, I think you're crazy. But co-housing is becoming a big thing, where people are going, we don't need to have 20 lawnmowers. We can have one lawnmower that we can share in our community. We can have one drill that we can share in our community. And it's becoming more communal based, you know, and also secondhand goods is becoming like such an in thing, as looking for a bargain here, a bargain there, and being more economical and being more contribution driven rather than being consumer driven, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about how with our obsession with technology and the digital, it's so fast and so efficient. Sometimes we're kind of losing some of our authenticity as human beings. And perhaps also we're losing some of ourselves in that mess too.
Yeah.
So in this world that's obsessed with AI, automation, digitization, productivity, efficiency, why is there such a strong return to human intelligence and analog values right now? Maybe you can just unpack that a little bit more.
I want to go back to the word authenticity. You know, if you go into Webster Dictionary, all the dictionaries, authenticity is almost every year the word of the year. It's a word we overuse. People have word fatigue, and we're moving into a time, it's no longer about information. People are no longer seeking information, they're seeking wisdom. It's no longer about the words you speak, it's about the truth you speak. And people want to feel that that you have the best intentions at heart. And I think that authenticity, especially with, if we just look within the marketing world, it's always about how can we be the most authentic, because 86% of our purchases happen because of authenticity, but it's manufactured. And I'm going to tell you why. If you look at the ingredients of authenticity, it's honesty, transparency, integrity, and self-awareness. Now, honesty is when I ask you a question, you're going to give me an honest answer, yes or no. But transparency is speaking my truth, even if it's uncomfortable. And that is the authenticity that we need to get to. And that is what we starting to see offline, where people are like, I can't speak my truth online, but I can speak my truth and I feel heard and I have a sense of belonging and I have a sense of identity. And that is what's important to recognize.
Okay, so he has a little bit of a trick question.
And that is,
if we are craving this authenticity and this truth, and if digitized economics and digitized media can't give us that truth, right? Is there such a thing as digital authenticity? Is that possible to still find and create in this day and age for brands or for leaders?
My personal opinion, no. And I'll tell you why. How can you achieve digital authenticity? Yes, okay, if we're talking banking, there's authentication, that kind of, you know, facial recognition and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you look at Sam Altman just this week, he said we are facing a fraud crisis where banks are not going to be able to do normal authentication. We need to rethink those things. We are moving into such a serious deep fake era where we are not going to be able to tell whether something is true or not. And where this is really becoming scary is that people are going to go and say, but why am I coming online for? Why am I here if I have to engage with bots and with digital twins. And I think this is where the shift is going to happen, that businesses need to start preparing for AI consumer versus AI business. So the agentic AI is going to play like the glue that's going to hold this whole world together. And what businesses need to start preparing for is the audits. And we're seeing this in our community, is the audits that people are doing on organizations to say, what's your values? What do you stand for? Do you have a toxic culture? And if you're going to start programming your AI, agentic AI basically will make that decision for you on your behalf. So businesses really need to start thinking about, you know, fixing culture in general by starting from within.
Yeah, so let's go even further there. What are the risks for businesses and leaders who ignore the shift or who double down on digital authenticity rather than understanding that you have to invest in those slow, as you call them, sort of elephant parts of your business that actually dealing with real human beings one-on-one, which is slow and cumbersome and not as sexy and exponential as all the wonderful digital promises that we've heard. But what is the risk if you refuse to look at that?
I think as people are becoming more exposed to authenticity and becoming more who they are and remembering who they are and what values they stand for, people are going to start voting with their wallet more and more and more. And what is going to happen to organizations that are on the wrong side of history is going to face organizational death and decline. And this is not the first time this has happened. This has happened in the 60s with the hippies movement. They brought in the brands that were standing with their values, and they embedded themselves into the values of these movements. And if you want to be part of a movement, if I look at Conscious Leaders as a movement, our community is a democracy. If you want to come in as a brand and be involved, they decide. I don't decide. It is a decision that is made by our community. And this is what community is all about. In the analog renaissance, it's creating more of a democracy, and it's not hierarchical.
So talk to us now, again, as an observer, as a trained analyst, and that side of your work. Where are you seeing this analog shifts take hold most strongly? And you can talk to that in terms of geography or in terms of demographics or in terms of certain sectors of the market.
I think we're so influenced by the Western culture. So what they do, we do. But I do see what is very interesting for me within South Africa is we're going back to our indigenous roots. We're going back to the roots of our culture. I mean, with Heritage Month around the corner, people really want to understand their culture, remember the past, speak their mother tongue, their own languages. And we're seeing quite a lot of interesting things like choir pop-ups. I absolutely love it. I want to do it one day. It's like these choir pop-ups. We have them here in South Africa where people just sing together for one day, elevating their voices and just learning to be together through voice and sing and not feeling judged, and where they can be their authentic selves. We are seeing joy protests where people, and you know, we're good at this in South Africa. You know, we sing when we're obsessed about something. And that is really interesting for me to watch. But I also see, like, we've started a book club, and the fascination around, you know, book clubs, retreats, wanting to go away and not to have an agenda, just be. And this is the kind of slow movement what we're seeing. But I think we have to pay attention to this, because authenticity is where originality is born. Because if you reach your own authenticity, you will be original, because your life experiences are completely different to somebody else. And I think this is what these communal spaces are doing, is bringing people back to who they are. And this is where innovation is going to really pivot, and within these communities, I believe.
Yeah, so you're really saying there's two sides to this sort of this trend. The first is that we're going to become more embodied, get in touch with ourselves, to sing, to eat, to touch, to feel, rather than being disembodied kind of knowledge workers or disembodied consumers of content. But it's more than that. It's about being embodied, but also being embodied within a community with our fellow human beings around us.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very personal thing that we are talking about. How can brands and businesses be a part of this trend in an authentic rather than a cynical way? And that's probably my most important question for you today, Carmen. How do we do this uncynically without colonizing that space? We know this has happened in the past with brands. We had social media. It started off being peer-to-peer and social. But then brands got there, colonized the space, and basically sucked all the joy out of it and left a sort of barren wasteland of advertisements and what used to be a social space in the digital realm. How can brands authentically connect with embodied human beings and communities?
I think the first thing is either you build something with love, and really with care, because authenticity is coming back to purpose and understand your purpose. But I think before you want to fix the communities outside in the world, what is happening within your culture? How are you creating community within your organization? Because as within, so without. I think that's the first one. But if, and I speak around the communities and movements that we've helped organizations build, the most important thing is it's not about you. You are embedding yourself into the value system of you are not going to be able to influence that. What you need to do is to connect people to one another, and they will be loyal to you. So it's not interrupting, but really just forming part of it, and not be so perfectionistic and wanting to get everything right. You have to lean in and know that some days things are not going to work out, but allow and identify the community leaders within your communities and say, okay, right, who are these people that are doing the amazing things? Let them do the work. Why do you want to have the spotlight? What is that about? And I think that if brands really want to be part of those kind of movements, they really just need to be observers themselves, but also think that they need to start thinking like futurists, because the decision making that is happening here is very much instilled in a value system. I don't want to hear from brands, I'm running away from an online world that's always trying to get my attention. I just want to be. So be there, but be there and facilitate it, but don't interrupt it.
That's a good point. Don't interrupt, facilitate.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's don't come there to own, come there to participate and to build and to share and to create. So that sounds like a lot of work, Carmen. Like if you are, honestly, and you work with clients, you know this, if you are a marketing manager or a business owner or a board, how do you persuade your colleagues to buy into this? Because they've been sold from your competitors, quick fix solutions that, you know, oh, don't worry, AI can find your solutions. You know, Meta's got their new thing, they're going after the advertising industry, saying that, don't worry, not only will we take on your media distribution, we'll also create your creative for you. All you have to do is give us money and we'll connect with your customers. When that's the one message businesses and leaders are getting, and you've got other people like yourselves saying brands need to be part of communities to do the hard work, to get down to basics, to one-on-one connections, which is much slower. Much slower return on investment. How do you persuade people to shift their strategy?
I think you definitely need to be patient. You need to start focusing on doing things organically, not paying to be advertising all the time. Also, I want to go back to dystopian trends, right? We're seeing digital puppetry happening, neo-colonialism, where our thoughts are engineered by these big tech companies. We are seeing polarization engineering. We're seeing geopolitics like we've never seen before. And what we need to bear in mind, we've seen TikTok removed from the north, right? Next day, it's up and going. What happens? What happens when the geopolitics and they're after minerals and they don't get what they want and they decide, we can't access social media platforms? Do you have a backup plan? Because that's the backup plan. Mm. We really need to start going into the future, eyes wide open, because right now we need to have a mindset of duality. And honestly, authentic intelligence for me is seven things. It is collective intelligence, coming together and collaborating. So if you want to get it right, and as a brand, that's how you need to think. It's creative intelligence. It is culture intelligence. And I'm not talking about culture, organizational culture. I'm talking about really understanding the cultures that is in your environment. And we've lost so much of that. The more developed a country becomes, the less we know about our cultures and our communities. Then foresight intelligence, because everybody needs to be a futurist. We've got spiritual intelligence, which is about purpose. And then learning intelligence, that curiosity to ask better questions. And of course, emotional intelligence. If you combine those seven things as the authentic intelligence framework, that is how you become the catalyst, and this is going to help you to actually transcend.
Amazing. So that sets us up beautifully for our very last question for you today. And that is, as a trend translator, as a transformation specialist, as someone who cares about the future, what is your most audacious prediction about where the analog renaissance trend is heading next? What's coming that no one's prepared for and should be? And we usually say, look, about 10 years ahead.
I think people are reimagining money. I think there is an interesting thing happening around bartering. and learning to exchange my contribution with your skills and contribution, and how can we make this thing work? You grow a garden, you grow vegetables. We are starting to see a rise of that. I think that it's almost like a ghost economy, if you can put it that way. That is an interesting thing, because it's actually conversations that through our research we are hearing quite a lot.
Below the sort of digital dragnet, right?
Yeah.
All this real connection and real trade taking place outside the eye of Sauron.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is not everybody feels that they can talk about these things online. And also there's this distrust in capitalism. And, I know of one of the researchers, research activities that we did. There was actually a book that has been written chapter by chapter by professors, spiritualists, community members, that is circulating. They refuse to put it online. It's interesting things. I'm not there to shame it, but I'm just saying this is the kind of thing that also that we need to be truly aware of, as above, so below, like as hierarchical as things are right now, and culture is shifting away. We are definitely going to start seeing the sprinkler effect moving sideways. And we, either you pay attention to this and you are going to start getting into the slow movement of building movement and embedding yourself in culture, or you're going to have a definite decline. And we are going to see in our lifetime many organizations we grew up with that's no longer around.
Yeah, well, we've already seen that sort of digital connection is really no replacement for sort of human connection. And the same thing, of course, applies to brands too. Not just to human loneliness, but also
yes.
to brand loneliness, if you're not really putting the effort into connecting with the people that you want to trade with. And that's a wrap on today's episode. A massive thank you to Carmen Murray for sharing her powerful insights on the analog renaissance and how authentic intelligence is redefining what it means to lead, build, and connect in our very tech-driven world. From reclaiming our humanity in boardrooms to empowering women leaders across Africa, Carmen reminded us why empathy, clarity, and culture are the real keys to transformation. If today's conversation inspired you to tune into your own authentic leadership journey, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us on Wrapped BizTrends TV. You can also catch us on Biz Community's official website, The Real Network, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So on behalf of me, Bronwyn Williams, my guest, Biz Community, and Wrapped Creative, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time with more powerful trends and bold thinkers.